This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark and Wang Xiaoning. It's 7:06 in the morning. The sun's just coming up on Tuesday, the 21st of January. And in about 15 minutes, we're going to be speaking with Sivanesan Marimuthu, Undersecretary of the Tax Division at the Ministry of Finance, about Malaysia's implementation of digital taxes. But before that, let's take a quick look at the markets.
Well, I think the US markets were closed for Martin Luther Day yesterday.
Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah, so there wasn't any activity. But in Asia, Nikkei was up 0.2%, Shanghai was up 0.7%, Hang Seng was down 0.9%, Kospi was up 0.5%. There was hardly any movement on the Singapore Straits Times Index, while the FBM KLCI was actually down 0.4%.
And this morning, to give us more insight into international markets, we have on the line with us Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management. Thank you for joining us, Joe. Now, oil prices spiked on geopolitical tensions in Iraq as well as Libya over the weekend, resulting in futures rising as much as 1.5%. Do you see markets ignoring this geopolitical risk after a while, like they did shortly after Iran's retaliatory attacks on U.S. bases in Iraq?
I do. I think investors are not so much focused on the oil prices. I mean, there's a lot of supply out there, so that keeps oil prices, I think, in check. I think the big thing for investors right now is earnings season in the U.S. and continued signs of global inflation, global numbers, macro numbers getting better. Oil's important, but there's lots of it, so that takes a lot of tension and worries out of the market.
And meanwhile, China's industrial output in December beat market forecasts by growing 6.9% year on year. Do you see Beijing's tax cuts and broad policy support, including a very accommodative monetary policy, continuing to grow Chinese industrial numbers in the first quarter of 2020?
I do. I think the numbers out of China are going to get a little stronger here over the next 12 months. China barely grew just over 6%. In 2019, maybe it grows less than 6% in 2020, but that's okay. It's a large economy. It's $12 trillion. So if it grows just under 6%, that's still a lot of output. So, but China, it enters the year on the upswing, and that's giving us some buoyancy to global equities for sure.
And Joe, you mentioned U.S. earnings season. It is results season in your neck of the woods. Most big U.S. banks have reported rather good numbers on the back of stronger consumer banking despite the lower rates we saw in 2019. But has the easy money been made, or do you see perhaps more upside there?
Well, that all depends. Probably more upside, because I do think the economy is stronger than people expected. The consumer's kicking in. The big issue is inflation. Will we see any signs of more incipient inflation, which would cause the Fed or the yield curve to steepen? If you get a steeper yield curve, that's good for the banks. But fundamentals for banks are solid this year. Good consumption, good investment, good loan growth. The trading's picked up, M&A. A lot of good news, however, is priced into a lot of the financial sector. So I think they can grind higher, but I don't expect the year 2020 to be like 2019 in terms of total returns.
And meanwhile, Bank of Japan will be having its board meeting on Tuesday with, I think, most economists forecasting that it will keep rates steady. Do you agree? Because do you think the stimulus package and the weaker yen is enough to resuscitate the economy? Or is the priority still trying to get inflation, hitting the inflation target of 2%?
Well, that inflation target, as you know, has been there forever, like over decades. I think it's early for the for any investor to think the Bank of Japan is going to raise rates. It takes a while for a fiscal stimulus to kick in. So inflation, really the demographics of Japan lends itself to more deflation than inflation, given the elderly population, the peak in the labor force. So I would say it's way too early for anyone to think that the Bank of Japan is going to declare victory and start to raise rates. That would be quite a surprise for early 2020.
Thank you very much, Joe, for your insight. That was Joe Quinlan, Chief Market Strategist at the U.S. Trust Bank of America Private Wealth Management, talking to us about the Bank of Japan, Chinese industrial growth, as well as a U.S. earnings season. Now, taking a look at the IMF, though, this morning, that has been in the news, particularly as the world leaders convene for the annual World Economic Forum in Davos. Now, the IMF has announced it is forecasting global global growth to hit 3.3% in 2020, up from 2.9% in 2019.
Yeah, their chief economist, Gina Coppina, said that the fund expects higher growth this year because of a combination of factors. So there was monetary easing in 2019, signs of easing in the US-China trade war, especially after phase one has been signed, a lower likelihood of a no-deal Brexit. However, she does caution that signs of stabilization are tentative and that trade tensions could return. The IMF also said that central banks are expected to keep their respective, supporting their respective economies. I think it's going to be another decade of very accommodative monetary policies. And also, I think the new thing is fiscal stimulus, because you have Japan doing it and also Europe is beginning to consider that.
Indeed. And of course, all eyes will also be on Davos over this next few days, because the World Economic Forum has convened there. We'll be talking more about it after the 7:30 news. But notably, US President Donald Trump is going to actually be there this time, because last year this time he missed Davos because of the partial US government shutdown that was happening. But Trump is, as ever, in the news again for the spat that he's been having with French counterpart Emmanuel Macron, who've been at odds with each other over digital taxes for months, but they apparently have now come to a truce. So both sides have agreed not to impose tariffs onto each other until at least the end of the year, in order to allow for a deal at the OECD level. Because, and this is important, because the OECD and really coalitions of governments around the world have been looking at how to implement digital taxes, and it won't be a bad thing if we eventually come out with a wider globalized framework
for how to deal with this.
Yes, exactly.
So are they besties again, or just for the moment?
I think it's just for a moment. You know, politics, friendships in politics tend to be rather short.
But just some background on this, because France last year said they plan to introduce a digital tax to ensure that tech giants like Google, Amazon and Facebook paid the appropriate taxes. Now, since many of these tech giants, of course, are American, the Trump administration says this unfairly discriminates against US tech companies. And because of that, the US in turn threatened to slap tariffs on $2.4 billion worth of French goods, so I guess it would be like cheese, luxury brands, which would have been impacted.
Yeah, and so the interesting thing is that also just the other element to this is the Yellow Vest protests, which have been happening on and off over the past year or so in France. And it's come back again over the weekend, because police had to fire tear gas and arrested dozens of people on Saturday as thousands of protesters returned to the streets of Paris. So France is probably going to need this digital tax to happen. One of the key tenets of the Gilets Jaunes protesters is that they want the government to ensure that businesses pay their fair share of taxes, because a lot of the citizens themselves feel like they've been undercut almost in favor of big corporates.
I mean, if you ask me, the last decade, of course, you can have a debate as to whether this is the decade has ended, but nonetheless, I think there's a lot of discussion about it being the peak of inequality, and I think there's a lot of this discussion resides on taxation, right? Because you have very large companies that hardly pay any tax and take advantage of tax havens and do very, I would call it, very careful and clever tax planning to end up paying very little tax. And of course, that means a lot of people are unhappy, right? Because why should these big corporates get away with it when I, as an individual, have to end up paying a huge tax bill, especially in Europe, where tax rates can be as high as 50%.
Yes, so closing the tax loop is one of the things that we will likely see become more of a priority as we head into the 20s. But up next, we're going to be continuing discussions on digital taxes with Sivanesan Marimuthu, Undersecretary of the Tax Division at the Ministry of Finance, about Malaysia's implementation of digital taxes. So be sure to stay tuned here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.